Hi, I'm Dave Jackson. Welcome to another JPR Live session where we get to better know musicians we admire and hear exclusive live performances from the JPR Steve Nelson Performance Studio. This JPR Live session is made possible with support from the Talent Club. Find their live music schedule at talentclublive.com. Joining me for his third JPR Live session is a singer-songwriter, producer, a trumpet player from Enterprise, Oregon. He's worked with a lot of our favorite Pacific Northwest artists like Sarah Cahoon, John Craigie, Shook Twins, among a whole bunch of others. And today he's accompanied by a band. Bart Budwig, welcome back to JPR. It's really good to see you again.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And how about introducing the folks in your band?
Oh, yeah, of course. We got Adria Ivan over here on bass. We got Graham Farrell on the electric guitar, and we got Zach Peach on the drums. They're from Nevada City, and then Adria's from Portland.
Oh, wow. So from kind of a little all over the place in the West then?
Yeah.
And you guys are on a West Coast tour right now, and you're playing Trails End Music Festival alongside a lot of those folks we just talked about, like John Craigie and some other folks who've been in the studio, like Willie Watson's playing there, and John Doughboys, we just had their local here. We had just a live session with them as well. Well, tell us about Trails End, have you?
Well, I've been good friends with Johnny Callahan for a while. Maybe 9 or 10 years I played that, just like the Callahan Emporium. Mm. There's like a little bar and sandwiches. And so we became friends, and he asked me to play the festival this year. And I'm stoked because John's playing, we're good buds. So I'll probably play a little horn with him. And I love the area. Lots of different types of trees there.
Uh-huh.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
One of the best coniferous tree areas, if you want to see all different types. There's like cedars and pines and all sorts of stuff.
You were telling us you took a little excursion on your way here today to go tree watching. Tell us about that.
Yeah. The drive was very exciting. At one point, there was like a 4x4 foot square tan boulder just mostly across the road. We're like, what does this mean? It felt like a sign, a bad one. We went past it, and then when we over a small 1 foot cliff, felt like a cliff in the car.
Yeah.
Anyway, but we went to it was supposedly the tallest Doug fir in the world. I don't remember, it's over 350 feet or something.
Maybe the rock in the road will be the subject of a song in the future.
Exactly.
Well, how about
always get around the rock in the road? That's what it's going to be. It's going to be a very uplifting song.
Nice. Well, how about a song? What do you want to play for us today?
So, yeah, I did a couple last time. They were kind of newer, and I was by myself, so I think I'll do a couple band versions of those, and then I have another new one that I'll play.
Excellent. Well, what do you want to start us off with?
Well, let's start off with the Well, I started the last one with the Jesus Has Entered the Neighborhood, so let's do that. This is a gospel tune I wrote for my fast food delivery driver, Jesus. Seriously. Wait, I don't use a capo. That's okay, the audience won't see that. 1, 2, 3, 4...
Entered your neighborhood, Jesus, be here soon. You're drunk and you're tired, ain't mine. Need a driver, get ready. Jesus, be here soon. Jesus, entered. Jesus is knocking at your door.
That's Bart Budwig with the full band in a JPR live session. They're playing the Trails End Music Festival in Aetna. It runs today and tomorrow. And you can find more information at trailsandmusic.org, or pardon me, trailsandmusicfest.org. So that song you described as a gospel song, and I've heard a couple of descriptions of your sound and your music that I kind of really like. One of them is secular gospel, and the other one is cosmic country. Let's start with the secular gospel. How do you describe that?
I think maybe the simplest way is I grew up in the church, so a lot of what I know and how I think about things is in that context. And then, so like all the wordplay in that is, you know, like, so a lot of that is an exploring kind of like opposites in a lot of my music, I think. And then I just like wordplay and having fun with words. So I grew up going to like a private Christian school. So my knowledge of like biblical terminology and stuff, I have a lot of metaphors and puns in that. I think that, so it just kind of comes because that's what I know. And then I like to have fun with it.
And you did an album kind of on that theme, Paint by Numbers, Jesus. I get some of that gospel sound from that. Tell us a little about that album. And you kind of called it a concept album at the time.
Yeah, that was the concept was kind of, there's quite a few covers on that. They're like, people in the city call me country, Roger Miller, where have all the average people gone?
Right.
They're kind of exploring those, like the two sides of things. And like, some people call me a sinner, some people call me a saint.
Right.
So those, or Saturday Satan, Sunday Saint, covering those songs and then writing my own songs. So I guess the concept was kind of exploring Jesus in like, in my mid-20s instead of in my, you know, like young teens or something, in the things that I've learned in life and kind of trying to make sense of things, basically.
And one of the tunes on there was Nebraska 2, and that was sort of a nod to the boss. Some of his metaphors in there.
I haven't sang that one in a while, but I actually really like that song. I need to relearn it. But yeah, playing with like the boss as God, but it's actually talking about Bruce Springsteen or something. I don't know.
And then another one you wrote was Goliath Got Stoned.
So that one's a long story, but a good friend of mine kind of had some sort of mental break. And his name might have been David. And so I was thinking about David and Goliath. So it's a play between a lot of things that happened in my life and then a lot of things that happened in when David had an affair in the Bible and stuff. So it's referencing my life and also that situation.
And then, so cosmic country, I hadn't heard that term until I saw somebody describing another burn on the AstroTurf and you being cosmic country. I feel like it's been around a while, but what does that kind of mean to you?
I'm not sure. So my friend Sean wrote the back of that and then, I think he mentioned sacrilegious gospel too. So he kind of came up with that term or had seen it before. But yeah, I like it because I don't know. I guess it just means there's like effects or weird stuff. And on that album in particular, I had this guitarist, Ben Walden, who's like, who plays all the weirdest notes basically, which I feel like makes it. He knows a lot more about notes and chords than me, but he gave it a much more kind of like psychedelic jazz influenced sound, which is.
And the genre seems to be kind of a thing right now.
I've noticed that. Yeah.
Like Daniel Donato and Cosmic Country, they just put it right in their name and it's.
I should look it up and see who started that. I need to make some sort of false claim that it was my idea.
Well, it was the first time I saw it. So that's.
Okay.
I don't know.
Now yeah. I'm getting some. Yeah. I'll tell everybody you said.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Well, you guys want to play another tune? What do you want to play?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
So this is Life Drives Me to Drink It.
It's Bart Budwig in a JPR live session.
This one goes out to all the backgammon players out there. And the people who can only do Monday crosswords.
Playing backgammon, cooking up a ham and cheese in the microwave. Drinking shots of Fernet, making all my best bets, hoping things will go my way. Working on a crossword, thinking about the third word, wish it was yesterday. Rolling up a fat spliff, about to take a skinny dip and jump off a rock in the shade. Life drives me to drinking. Nothing is fair. I pay my taxes. I cut my hair.
Listening to a JPR live session with Bart Budwig, joined by his band. I'm Dave Jackson, and that was a tune called Life Drives Me to Drinking. You can find more about Bart Budwig at his website, bartbudwig.com. He and his band are performing in Aetna at the Trails and Music Festival. Find more information at trailsandmusicfest.org. So in addition to singing, writing, performing, you are a studio guy and do a lot of sound work. Are you still in the OK Theater out there in Enterprise?
Yep. I still work at the OK Theater, and then I do quite a bit of stuff on the road, too, as far as recording production goes.
Who have you been working with lately?
Buffalo Can from Central Oregon, doing a little bit of stuff with the Shook Twins. John Craigie's working on a live record. Yeah, those are three of the things I'm working on.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. And I know you like to record live in the studio. It's pretty much a live situation.
Yep.
You just plug everybody in kind of like we do here. And I hear that warmth when I hear, you know, your music and stuff. Where do you fall in the tape versus digital divide?
I definitely like tape, but most of the time, like, I guess if somebody's paying me, a lot of times, normally they want to have more control than they think they do. So when I record myself, I'll record digital. Sometimes I'll record to cassette. I recorded a record to one track on a tape machine, but the artist was like, yeah, let's do this. And then, because it's like done and then you're done.
Right.
They can't be like, well, can you turn this and this down? And so most of the time I do digital, but I think I do actually think that the lead in using the rooms is more what makes it sound old school, because mm-hmm. those were all musicians playing together in real rooms and real spaces. So I think that's really where the sound, it's more strong. The bleed in the microphones and the rooms that you're using, I think, are more effect, have more effect mm-hmm. than like if you're using a really nice tape machine or something.
Have you by chance listened to the new album by Bonnie Light Horseman?
Oh, no, I'd love to.
There's a live, I know they kind of recorded it live in a club, and then they took it to the studio and did some work on it, but the live sound is like that. It's one of the first times I heard something that I knew was like fresh live like that. And I was like, oh, man, you really hear that in what they're doing. And
I'll have to listen. Cool. I know that Tom Petty, before he died, he got back with his Mud Crutch.
Mud Crutch, yeah.
His old band. I heard that they had like stage monitors in the studio. I could, just like a live show, but they were in a recording studio.
Yeah.
That was what I was reading. I think that's what they said, which I thought that was a cool idea. Just like not have any headphones. And
right.
It's just like practicing in a garage, except you have nice mics and a nicer room.
But I've heard like Neil Young talk about that too. It's like they don't use headphones or monitors on stage. They stand in front of the amps and it's a...
Totally.
Yeah. Amazing stuff like that. As far as producers and engineers go, are there people that you kind of admire and look up to?
Richard Swift was one of my favorite producers. He's passed away.
Yeah.
But that was kind of, if I had one kind of bucket list producer that I would want to work with just because I love what they do. He just has such a rich, I don't know, tapey, reverby, warm sound, and he's an incredible keyboard player and vocalist, and
I
love that.
He did a Damian Jurado album, and the first time I heard that, it's like, there is something special in the separation of the sound here that other people just aren't quite capturing.
Yeah, Maricopa was that album for me.
Yeah.
He did a bunch with him, but it kind of like blew my mind. I was like, wow, this is like a lush forest speaking with a giant tree in the middle.
Right. Well, he worked with Dan Auerbach in the Arcs. He recorded Nathaniel Rateliff and out of Cottage Grove, Oregon, for the listeners that maybe did not know that. Well, how about one more tune? What do you guys want to play?
Yeah, we're going to do the one after the DUI, the therapy. This one's about the therapy part.
All right.
Well, I didn't go, but...
What's it called?
I guess I'm calling it Greener Pastures, but I really don't approve of that name.
It's part Budwig in a JPR live session.
1, 2, 3, 4. I don't wanna go. I can't explain why. I don't want to go. Oh, I don't want to try. This trying takes time, and I'm tired. I just want to leave. Can't explain why. I just want to leave.
don't want to try. This time takes time, and I'm tired.
Listening to a JPR live session with Bart Budwig. That's a song that may or may not be called Greener Pastures. On lead vocals and trumpet on that tune, and acoustic guitar, that is Bart Budwig. On electric guitar, Graham Farrow. On drums, it was Zach Peach and Adria Ivan on bass. Thanks, you guys, for coming in today. So you're playing at Trails End Music Festival along with some folks like John Craigie, Willie Watson. What's up after Trails End?
Well, that is about the end of the trail for us. Let's see. That's Friday. We're playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We're playing in Reno. So we basically, I think we did like, I don't know, 14 or 15 shows with one. Our only day off is Monday.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we'll play Reno after that and then go home for a bit.
Anything on the recording front coming up?
The main thing I'm working on is mixing, and then I've got some outdoor little festival things going on in Enterprise, which will be super fun.
Cool. Well, thanks for joining us today, and be sure to keep us posted on what you're doing next, and enjoy the last part of your tour.
Yeah, thanks so much for having the band.
Yeah, it was great. JPR Live Sessions are engineered by John Griffin of Luna's End Studios, made possible with support from the Talent Club, with live music and cold drinks in a casual atmosphere in downtown Talent, Oregon. Find their live music schedule at talentclublive.com. I'm Dave Jackson. Thanks for listening to JPR Live Sessions.